my parents is Joseph Martin Lothridge, and my mother was the late Mattie Cobb Lothridge. And we lived in Texarkana. There were six children in the family, and we grew up and went to elementary school. My father did manual labor to support us, but he tried to send us to school, and we all got a fairly nice education. Most of us had graduated from high school, and some of us have some college education.
That was all in Texas, was it?
Some of our college education was in Bakersfield.
Oh, I see.
My late high school education was in Bakersfield in the evening classes, and I attended Bakersfield College.
Were the grammar schools segregated there?
Yes, they were. Because that's been quite many years ago
that
I attended elementary school and went to Dunbar High School.
Are they integrated now?
Yes, they are integrated now, and they are having some trouble about integration at this particular moment.
So when you moved to Bakersfield, then you moved into an integrated school?
Well, not thoroughly integrated, but we managed to. Some of my family went to Weed Patch School. They did very well. The younger children in the family.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I was grown when I went to Bakersfield High School. I took a brush up course, and I studied local government under Mr. Colepitts. I took some typing, and then I went to Bakersfield College, where I took sociology and social science and American problems, and I took some government also at Bakersfield College.
What brought your family to Bakersfield?
Maybe a depression. In fact, I was the first of my family to come to Bakersfield. I came to Bakersfield to visit relatives and never returned to Texas. And then the next of my family to come to Bakersfield was my married brothers with their young families. And they came to Bakersfield. And the next of my family to come was my mother and my father, because all of the children had left the South and come to Bakersfield. And this led my parents to come. 25 years ago, they came to Bakersfield.
Did they have any problem in making the change?
No. In fact, my family never had any problems, any real problems, except depression years in Texas. So far as racial problems, we just never had any problems. We just had a hard time making a living. And well, we made a fair living because my mother was an economic woman. She always cooked, and they grew gardens, and they were able to feed us very well. And they always told us to behave ourselves, and they taught us to appreciate life and appreciate whatever we had, and to appreciate others and divide what we had with others. And we had a happy life.
And the change to a different state and everything pretty different was easy for you all to make?
Yes, the changes were not difficult. We came here and went to work immediately, and we all purchased homes, and today we all have our own homes, and my parents had their home, and each of the children in the family have their homes, and they educated their children here. All of the nieces and nephews had their elementary education and their high school and college education here in Bakersfield.
And you married in Bakersfield?
Yes, I did.
I've never had any children?
No, I'm the only one in my family who did not have children.
Well, then your nephews and nieces are lucky to have an aunt who's free to pay attention to them.
Yes, I had always divided and helped out with the youngsters in the family. They have been very fortunate to have a family that was proud of them, because my brothers wanted to give their children a fair education. They never had any problems here in school, and we just often wonder why there are so many problems. If they came home and said something was wrong, the parents always went to the school to try to correct it, or told them to behave themselves, or advise them to behave themselves and to get an education, and to never feel discouraged if a teacher say you're not good for this field, or you just go ahead and try and try and try. Because one of my nieces is a registered nurse, and she had quite a few problems because they told her she was not nurse material. But her mother encouraged her, and today she is a registered nurse, and they say she's one of the best in this town. And I have a nephew that is a pharmacist also. He graduated from Bakersfield College, and then he went to Corvallis, Oregon, and he graduated from the University of Oregon, and today he is in medical management. So, the youngest of the grandchildren got married last August, and she is in Corvallis, Oregon, and she has some college education also. So I'm quite proud of my family background. It's one that I really am proud of.
What kind of work did you do then?
When I first came to Bakersfield, I had a fair education, but I did domestic work because nothing else was open for Negro people. I did whatever, and I picked some cotton. And all of my family have. We've done all kinds of work. We've done what our hands find to do, and even since we've been to school, we'll do any kind of work. It doesn't matter. Just as long as we are making an honest living.
And, I've never heard of a family with so few problems.
Maybe we might have had problems, but we didn't magnify them. Maybe we just accepted them, and we had problems, maybe, but I just really don't think problems are as great sometimes as we say they are. And I was born in poverty and maybe reared in poverty, but I've always had the mind that poverty was in the mind. I think it's not altogether in your pocket. I think sometimes it's in your mind.
Where did you get that belief?
From my parents. Both of my parents were very well read. And my mother was able to teach us and read stories to us. And my father is a well-read man at the age of 89. And, he reads and writes beautifully. And they've always been active in civic affairs. And they went to school as adults and everything. So it had a lot of impact on the family to have this type of parents.
And your father is still living?
Yes, my father is still living. We went to church together this morning.
You keep house for him, do you?
Yes, I do keep mm-hmm. house for my father now.
Mm-hmm. That's really lovely.
Yes.
He must be a delightful old gentleman.
My church work, I belong to St. John Missionary Baptist Church, and Reverend Tyree Tolliver is my pastor. And earlier, when I first came to Bakersfield, I was a member of once Mount Zion Baptist Church when I lived on the west side of town. And I've spent the most of my years in the ghetto, and the most of my work has been in that particular community. And I really love the Mayflower community. I had spent much of my time working in the church out there and in organizations, the Sunset Mayflower Progressive Club, and I once was a member of the Women's Political Study Club, and I'm also a member of the Community Flower Club, of which I was at the meeting last night. And I've done secretary work in all of the churches that I've belonged to.
So your community work then came about through your church association. Pretty largely?
Well, not altogether. It came about through my love for civic work because the Mayflower community, about 25 years ago, it was very crude. It had outdoor privies, it had tents for houses, and it had discarded streetcars and boxcars for houses, and there were no playgrounds and no public facilities for the people who were migrating from the South by the thousands back in the 1940s. And we organized a civic organization called the Sunset Mayflower Progressive Club to do something about what was needed for the community.
Who was we?
The founding president of this organization was Mr. Ben Fields. He lives over here on Chester Place now. And this another one of the presidents was a pioneer family. Mr. Russell Grimes was one of the presidents. And Mr. Charles F. Stevens is the present president. And the late late Joe Mackey and Reverend Charles D. James were also presidents of their organization. Don Blackwell and Willard Adkins and Archie Griffin. Now, these are all the men who had been presidents of the Sunset Mayflower Progressive Club. And under their administration, we brought city buses to the community. In 1945, we worked with the Mickleberry Company and got the first buses in the community. And we got the first lights out there, and we established garbage routes in the streets and alleys, and everything was cluttered with filth, and there was no garbage pickup. Well, we worked with the Board of Supervisors and the recreation departments and the all of the people who were in authority, and brought all of these things to the community.
Is the Mayflower District within the city boundaries?
Yes, we also sponsored the annexation of the Sunset Mayflower District into the city limits, and it became officially annexed in 1951, I think it was. That we had quite a hard time because some of the people out there didn't want to improve, and they didn't want it to go into the city. And there was one or two business firms out there didn't want it to go into the city, and we just had an awful time. And then a lot of the people who did live there, they went on, moved out to Carversville and moved further out, but we finally got officially annexed. And we also got the first fire stations that we had in the Mayflower District, and just all of the improvements that we have out there. And we worked with getting better housing because people lived in the tents and all of these shanties and such terrible, there was no modern convenience at all out there, and we worked to get the Ora Vista Housing Project, and we had to work with the city council for more than a year before we could get them to see how badly that we needed houses out there, and so they finally voted to accept federal housing. And all of this has helped this community to be a community that is worthy living in today. The boundaries of the Sunset Mayflower area is bounded on the east by the Sunset Railroad track, and it's bounded on the north by California Avenue. It's bounded on the south by East Brundage Lane, and on the west by South King Street. That is the boundary lines, and the particular ticklish spot where there was so much going on and so many people living in poverty that we just worked with it. Now it's livable. Thank you.
So you've done that all yourselves. You didn't have much help from the city officials?
Well, yes. If it had not been for the city officials, we couldn't have done so much because we had to beg maybe many times, but we got the majority of the votes on our side, and that's the way we did it. Before we got into the city, we had the supervisors on our side, and after we got into the city, well, we had pretty good city councilmen, and they didn't say yes the first time we asked for anything, but we had to go back and go back again and again, and they finally, we had to make them see the need. Thank God they
How did you make them see the need?
Well, they were nice. They were pretty nice gentlemen. And Mayor Frank Sullivan was a very nice person. Once you never say yes the first time you'd go to him for something, but you could talk and talk and talk to him, and you could finally win him over. And when you did win him over, you really had a friend with having him. This is about the housing. He just was bitterly against federal housing at first, but he finally seen that the Mayflower District needed housing. And Councilman Vest and Manuel Kanakis and all of those people just came on over on our side, and they responded beautifully.
Well, you have learned to work with the authorities in a wonderful way.
Well, they can change them if they see the need. Oh, and I feel that you know what you
were self-starters. Nobody from the outside came in and showed you how to do it.
No, this civic organization well, really do the credit for the beginning.
Charles Sipplin is the head man. friendship house right now. And then,
it's like a settlement house.
Yes, it's really a distinguished spot in the Carversville area. And
well, go ahead and tell us what it is, Friendship House.
Friendship House, well, they have a community council. They call it Friendship House Community Council now, and they have meetings quite often to improve the community. And there's classes there for adults. There's a lobot class going on there. And then there's a daycare center going on there. In fact, Bakersfield College has some activities going on out there. But I am not a Friendship House as much as I am in Mayflower, because it's two different communities, but we all do work together in when it's needed and when it's necessary. Because Carversville is a thickly settled community also. And that is the area that is called Union Number 7 that the city had tried to annex to Bakersfield several times. In fact, it's joining Casanova Acres, and they have tried to get that into the city several times, and the people failed to vote for annexation because they didn't feel that the city had done enough in the last 20 years in the Mayflower district. And I, for one, was interviewed by one of the editors at the Californian on why that they didn't annex the area, and I told him that the people out in Carlsville didn't feel that they had seen enough improvement in the Sunset Mayflower area for them to go into annexation. And he felt that I should have told the people earlier and did not let them fail, you know, to we should have told what was wrong instead of just letting them fail to become annexed. And I think next time they try it, they might finally get annexed, because recently, you see, we have California Avenue paved, and Brundage Lane is paved and lighted up, and the community is really showing a marked improvement in recent years. And I really feel that if the Carlsville, Crystal Heights area, and Casanova ever, if they ever try to get this into the city again, I really think that it will come in. Pardon me.
I know that you've been very active in all these things. Could you tell us a little more about your own activity?
My own activity?
Mm-hmm.
Well, my activity, I've never been the president of anything. I've served as a secretary to Pleasant View Church. I was a secretary. And at St. John's Church, I've served as membership secretary and worked with the civic affairs, because during elections, I always have the candidates to come out to the church, and I always work with the civic affairs and public relations of the churches, and invite the candidates, have a meeting with them and for the community. And I work at the polls. I have been working at the polls in the Mayflower area for about 20 years, I would say. And I'm one of the oldest deputy registers in that area that Vera Gibson has. Have worked with helping to get people to register to vote under the late Tom Reese and Joe Lewis at Buttonwiller. In fact, we conducted the registration of voters clinics. And I mean to tell you, we have worked with the people out there when they marked the ballot with a pencil, and some of them went far enough to put their names on it. And I know just how far the people have come because of this, you know. And it just really makes me feel, it's real heartwarming to see how far the people have come and to have worked with them. It just really makes me not ever maybe want to live anywhere else unless I just have to make a change. And I had also worked with the NAACP. I've served as a secretary, recording secretary of the NAACP for many years, and I've attended many of their conventions, one in San Francisco and one in Cleveland, Ohio, and many of their regional meetings at the Selamar in Sacramento, and just all over the country I have NAACP'd and worked with them in many ways. And we also worked with this local fair employment ordinance. We introduced that to the city council. And that is another thing I must commend the Bakersfield City Council for, because they just really didn't see why we wanted a fair employment practices ordinance in Bakersfield, but we introduced it. We were a year or two, but they finally passed the ordinance. And then we worked with it on a state level, and it became statewide. And I worked under Fleming Aether on a county
Pittsfield City Charity Board. That is some more of my work.
Have you any questions?
I'd like to mention the first time that I was elected to the, I was not elected, pardon me, I was appointed to the Bakersfield City Charity Board by the City Council first in 1963 to fulfill an unexpired term of Mr. Harry Myers. And I've completed that term, and then again I was elected in 1966 for the second term. And I said that, and some of the works of the Bakersfield Charity Board is to protect the community from unscrupulous peddlers who operate in the community. For an instant, when they start to give something to raise money for charitable purposes, they have to appear before the charity board and get a permit. And it is the duty of the charity board to determine whether they should have this permit. And when they make a report back to the charity board, we decide whether they have raised enough money to deserve another permit, or whether they raised their, whether they have given enough to charity out of what they have raised or not. And if not, we question them about it or call them into the office. And there is some 700 or 800 charitable organizations like the March of Dimes Telerama. That is one of the big things that we took care of, and of all the money they raised, we figured if they really cared enough to give to the real purpose before we give them another permit to carry on such.
How about the young people, girls and boys both? Are they interested in the goals you've been working for?
Well, they are interested in their own way. They seem to, as they say, be doing their own little thing. They have their own little organizations. They don't seem to go for the organizations that have pioneered things. They have a young, they did have a young group in the NAACP, but they seem to be going for the Black Student Union and the Black Student of Progress, and they're doing quite a few things in the community, and I really think they and for Black History Week, they're really going out for that. They begin to have more pride than they used to have, and they begin to be proud of themselves, and they don't seem to be feel inferior or ashamed to be Black like they used to. They seem to begin to be proud, and I think this is improving yourself when you begin to be proud of yourself.
And in that, do they work with the older generation?
And not too much. They go in church, but they have their own little social groups and their own little civic groups. But they have their new ideas, and we had our own ones, and I think this is the difference. But they begin to do much better than they have done.
Are their leaders developing?
Slowly. We seem to have to go along with the same leaders, real leaders, that really sincere, that really mean to do something in the community. We have a lot of people to start, but they soon stop. But we seem to have just a few that will really stick with an organization or a group. Now, we have a new NAACP president, and they are meeting right at this particular hour. And we have Mr. Stevens is the president of the Sunset Mayflower Club, and Mr. Mosley is the president of the NAACP, and he is trying hard to get it on foot again. And there's several other community councils around that's in the anti-poverty program. But I mean, my mind is on volunteer work, not those that are being paid to do something in the community, because I feel that if you haven't been active before you have been paid to do anything, that you don't have any interest in humanity. This is the way I really feel about it. And I really couldn't